It's my privilege to be with you today, and I ask that you take your copy of God's Word as we begin this morning and turn to the text that is our constant point of reference for our studies together, and that is the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, focusing particularly on verse 35. As you're turning there in your Bible, you've been given outlines for the Sunday school and morning and evening worship services for today's ministries in the Lord's presence. So I hope that you'll keep those outlines with you for the course of today's studies. And then also, just to make mention, in the outline, if you see a verse that is underlined, that's a signal to you that we're going to open our Bibles together to look at that text. If the text is not underlined, then I hopefully will make reference to it, quote it, or make comment upon it. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, we read of this most marvelous description that Christ gives to us, where he calls us sons of God Most High. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. This last Friday, we took the time to explore God as God Most High. We discovered some of the ancient names of God revealed in the Old Testament and learned that God Most High is the God of Abraham, the God represented by Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14, who came to bless Abraham with the blessing that God had already bestowed upon him in Genesis 12. The God Most High is the God of Abraham, the God of Israel, the God of the Exodus, the Lord God, Yahweh. This indeed is the God who we worship, now revealed as the triune God, revealed in the incarnation of the person of his Son, who is Yahweh, come in the flesh to accomplish our redemption. Yesterday, we then took time to consider powers and principalities, this peculiar vocabulary of the Apostle Paul that situates us on a battlefield in which we contend with forces of darkness, with authorities, rulers, as Paul describes them in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. And all of this is related to who we are as sons of the Most High, because the title and responsibilities of sons of the Most High involve a spiritual warfare, involve engaging ourselves with these powers and principalities as those who are sons of the Most High God. So this morning I want to look with you at our identity and our duty as sons of the Most High. And for this I ask that you turn to John, to look at John chapter 10, where we see Jesus dealing with fallen rulers, with the Pharisees in John chapter 10, dropping in at verse 33 to verse 36. The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming'? Because I said I am the Son of God." Now we come upon a battle scene. Jesus is being misjudged. He's being misjudged by men who are given positions of authority and rule, in this case, the Pharisees. There's a lot in this chapter. At issue is Jesus' identity as the Christ. That's what has been pressed upon him in verse 24. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, Jesus answers that question in verse 25 by pointing to his works. He has previously instructed them in this chapter concerning his sheep as those for whom he lays down his life. And he informs the Pharisees that they are evidently not his sheep, as made obvious by their unbelief. You see that in verse 26 to 29. He asserts his unity with his Father in verse 30, and that triggers this judgment that comes upon Christ. These men then are ready to stone Jesus for blasphemy. Notice what they're doing. They're judging him. And they are sentencing him to death, and they are about to execute the death sentence upon him. And Jesus asks them, "So for what good work are you going to stone me?" And the Pharisees answer in verse 30, as we've read, "Because of blasphemy." And Jesus stops these men in their tracks with a question about their duty as the recipients of the Word of God. These are the men who have responsibility to teach people the Word of God, to administer the rule and truth of God to their fellow men. And so Jesus stops them, asking them for the interpretation and application of Psalm 82. Notice in verse 34, he asks, "Has it not been written in your law? Aren't you the ones to whom the word of God has come? You are the recipients of this revelation, and the word of God cannot be broken." Now, in verse 21, they've accused Jesus of being demonic. And then they demand to know his identity. And Jesus tells them that they can't hear his answer because they're not of his sheep, in verse 26 and 27. And so Jesus answers their question by demonstrating that he is the Son of God sent from the Father, his deity. He emphasizes the place of Scripture in defining who he is. You see, if the Pharisees were more faithful to the Word of God, they would improve their ability to hear and to recognize the voice of the shepherd. In John chapter 7, verse 24, in previous dealings with these men, he told them that they should learn to judge not according to appearances, but to judge with a righteous judgment. And so he quotes from Psalm 82 and verse 6. It's an interesting text. In verse 34, "Has it not been written in your law, I said, you are gods?" And here's this word that we looked at on Friday night, this interesting word, Elohim. We considered that God Most High is the Elohim of all Elohim. Well, what is Jesus saying to these human rulers? What is he telling them about himself when he says, in essence, "I am the Son of God sent into the world by the Father"? Well, this takes us, secondly, this morning back to Psalm 82. So I ask that you turn to that scripture. I'm using the New American Standard Bible. Psalm 82, we'll read the psalm in its entirety. God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. "How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possesses all the nations. Now, this is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph is a prophet priest during the time of David, somewhat like Habakkuk during the time of the exile, a priest who is also a prophet. Now, our question concerns verse 6. Who is in view by this text that Jesus quotes in John chapter 10? And the challenge in answering that question is how we come to terms with this term Elohim. You find it in verse 1, translated God. It is also in verse 1, translated rulers. Then in verse 6, you are gods. And then again in verse 8, O God. Now, there are two main interpretations to approach this term, you are gods, and how the word Elohim is used in this text. The one is to say, well, God is talking about heavenly beings. As we saw Friday night, these who inhabit heaven are said to be Elohim, lesser Elohim, created creatures of heaven. We would call them angels. And then there are others who say, no, this is a term that Jesus is applying to earthly rulers, to men. I would suggest not an either or, but a both and. That in fact, we have in view those who are both heavenly rulers and earthly rulers. And our translation of Elohim depends upon context, and it's not at all an easy assignment. So we look at verse 1 and we ask, well, who's acting here? Who's speaking? And the answer is Elohim, capital E, Elohim, God. And what is he doing? Well, he takes his stand. It's the word that means positioning yourself in the middle of a group. And why is he doing that? Well, he's doing that in order to judge. He's making an adjudication. He is assessing the responsibilities, the exercise of the rule of these Elohim. That's who he's talking to. Notice, he in the NASB, his own congregation, Chedael, the L on the end of that is that ancient name for God that, again, we saw Friday night. The word Cheda means congregation. It's the congregation of El. But they are also, in this text, the Elohim, the rulers. So his own congregation are the rulers as well. So on the one hand, I submit to you that this is Yahweh in the midst of what some call a heavenly council. Heavenly beings created by the Lord, accountable to the Lord, and with him whom and through whom the Lord governs the cosmos. These heavenly Elohim, and I want to understand and underline this, are responsible to administer God's government. That's the characteristic for which they are responsible. They are responsible to administer God's government. Now, they are called in the ESV, the Divine Council. In the NIV, the Great Assembly. In the New English Translation, the Assembly of El. And I don't reject that interpretation. But I would nuance it by including, on the other hand, that there are human rulers who are in view here as well. This term, Cheda is an Old Testament Hebrew term that is used to describe the theocracy, the ethnic nation of Old Covenant Israel as a people. Sometimes there's a different term to describe the assembly of the Lord, the kahol. That's a word that is translated into the word church in the New Testament, ekklesia. But this word is a more general term for the people in covenant to God as the theocratic nation of Israel. So here, God's covenant people, God's congregation, the congregation of El, the congregation of God, the people who are in covenant with Yahweh, he stands in their midst, and he stands in particular in the midst of those who are responsible to exercise his government and his rule among men. And he stands as the divine judge. He stands as the divine king, and he adjudicates the doings of these Elohim. Now, who are they? Well, Jesus has already answered that when he spoke to the Pharisees, and he said that he called them gods. Who are they? Those to whom the word of God came. These men who are particularly responsible in mediating and ministering the authority of God in his word to their fellow men. So Jesus is speaking to Pharisees, and he's asking them a question concerning the stewardship of the word of God. Has it not been written in your law? Aren't you the ones to whom the word of God has come? You're the ones that are seen in Psalm 82 when the Lord stood in the midst of his rulers and held them accountable for the exercise of their responsibilities as sons of God. So I submit to you that Jesus, standing in the midst of these Pharisees and asking them for their accountability for the stewardship of the word of God, is a fulfillment of Psalm 82. The king is standing in the midst of the rulers, and he's asking them to give an account, if you will, to call them to their responsibility. What responsibility? Again, they are responsible to administer the government of God to their fellow men. They are responsible to administer the government of God to their fellow men. Well, what's at issue? Well, what's at issue is this exercise of judging. You notice it in verse 1. You notice it in verse 2. You notice it in verse 8. What's the concern? It's the exercise of making judgment. What's the problem? In verse 2 to 4, my understanding that here are words holding these human authorities, these human rulers, to account. They are adjudicating and judging unjustly. They're partial to the wicked, they're unjust to the weak and the fatherless and the afflicted and the destitute. So that the vulnerable are being abused by the wicked, and they're called to vindicate, to judge righteously, and to rescue those for whom the Lord is especially concerned, that they might be rescued from mistreatment. What's the result in verse 5? Well, the result is that those who should be benefiting from the ruler's rule are left without understanding. They are blindly walking through life in darkness. They're living in a moral chaos. There's lawlessness. The foundations of the earth are being shaken. The very created order itself is collapsing back into that original chaos of darkness and formlessness and void that is at the very foundation of God's creative work. It's as though creation itself is becoming undone by the weight of the sin and the injustice. And God comes and judges the judges. And he rules amongst the unrighteous rulers. So it's in verse 6 that we are brought into this discussion of Jesus with the Pharisees. I said you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. I said, I believe that's Asaph, as the prophet, articulating the very words of God. And God is speaking to the rulers, just as Jesus was in John 10. You're the ones to whom the word of God has come. You're responsible for the authoritative word of God and to administer the rule of God to your fellow men. You are Elohim. You are gods. All of you are sons of the Most High. The gods are sons of the Most High. And I submit to you that this is a description of humans who are given a position of government in the kingdom of God, a responsibility for the word of God, and to administer the rule of God among men. So in verse 7, if this interpretation of Elohim as being both earthly and heavenly rulers is legitimate, then we can discern in verses 2 to 5 the earthly rulers being held to account, and here in verse 7, the heavenly rulers. And they're told, in their misjudgment, in their failure to govern responsibly in accountability to the Lord, that they face a death that will be a death like men, like any of the princes. And the princes is another one of those terms that can be used for both angels and men throughout the Old Testament. And of course, this is what we see in the second death, the final expulsion of creatures from the presence of God in the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 20, where Satan, the beasts, and Babylon, death itself, and all earth dwellers with the mark of the beast who did not worship the true God are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And I believe that there's legitimacy to that when Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, when the Lord is speaking to his council, he's saying to them, in effect, these angelic beings, your destiny in your rebellion is the same as men, death. Asaph in verse 8 yearns for God, therefore, to come and judge and to rectify the wrong throughout all the earth, and that for the benefit of all the nations, that he would come and rescue the afflicted and the needy. And of course, that reminds us of the blessings of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the weak. Blessed are those who are the afflicted, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So are the gods, the Elohim, who are the sons of the Most High, in verse 6, are they human or are they demonic? I submit to you, they're both. The Lord speaks to human rulers, but through them he is talking as well to angelic powers and principalities, these entities who are behind and operating in and through human authority structures, human government structures, as we saw in our study of powers and principalities. Peter O'Brien comments, it would appear that social, political, judicial, and economic structures can be demonic. So the sons of the Most High are those who are put in the position of rule in God's government. They are seen with the responsibility of making judgments, and they are to administer the word of God righteously in the exercise of their stewardship. And they're to do so as to effect the rescue of the weak and the needy, and to bring instruction to those who walk in the darkness. And I believe that this is central to the dignity and the duty of what Jesus tells us in Luke 6:35, when he tells us that we are to love our enemies, that we are to do good, that we are to be givers and lenders, expecting nothing in return, and you shall be sons of the Most High. He is telling us, as disciples of Jesus Christ, I'm giving you the responsibility of the kingdom of God. Administer it among your fellow men. Make righteous, gracious, gospel judgments for the benefit of your fellow men, because you bear the name of your Father. You are sons of God Most High. Thirdly, having seen Jesus address the fallen rulers in John 10 and looked at these sons of the Most High in Psalm 82, I want to consider the administrators of God's government among men. We have seen in our conference that this word Elohim is used concerning heavenly beings, but it is also used to describe the operations of authority in human institutions and structures, as we have attempted to identify that in Psalm 82. fallen Elohim, demonic influences, can permeate and infect human authority structures. This language of the apostle, rulers, dominions, authorities, who are subject to the forces of darkness operating in heavenly places. But at this point, I want us to look at texts from Exodus in particular. If you go back to Exodus 21, as we look at a couple of verses, where we are justified in bringing this word Elohim into relationship with human authorities, human rulers, and particularly those who are responsible to administer the judgment of God among men. In Exodus 21, reading at verse 5 and verse 6, "But if the slave plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man,' then his master shall bring him to God. He shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently." How does his master bring him to God? Well, the word there is Elohim. Where does the master take the servant that says, "You don't have to release me. I am going to legally submit myself as your lifelong servant"? Where do you go when you want to go to God? Well, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, translates this to the judgment seat of God. In other words, take the slave to the place where the rule of God is being administered by a recognized judge in the position of one who exercises divine authority, who exercises God's rule, and he's called an Elohim. In chapter 22, verse 8 and verse 9, "If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house shall appear before the judges to determine whether he laid his hands on his neighbor's property. For every breach of trust, whether it is for an ox or donkey or sheep, for clothing or for any lost thing about which one says, 'This is it,' the case of both parties shall come before the judges. He whom the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor." Now, the interesting thing is that the judges is the Elohim. It could be another place where the translators could have written, as it is in the footnote of the NASB, they could have written, "He's come to God. He's come to the judges. He's come to these who are responsible to administer God's rule and adjudicate in the courtroom in the presence of God." Chapter 22, verse 28, "You shall not curse God, nor curse a ruler of your people." You shall not curse Elohim, nor shall you curse a ruler, which is to say there are two ways for you to break the third commandment in the cursing of the name of God, directly or indirectly. You can curse his authorized representative who is given to you to rule in his stead. Paul recognizes this principle when he writes about civil government, even the corrupt civil government of the Caesars, when he pens the letter to the church in Rome in chapter 13, verse 1, "There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God." It is a minister of God. He says that twice. "For rulers are servants of God." Paul seems very intent upon aligning proper, legitimate exercise of authority with the rule of God among men. When Paul was himself being judged in the court of the Sanhedrin, Ananias had Paul unjustly struck at one point, and Paul turns and tells him that God is going to strike him and calls him a whitewashed wall, a hypocrite. And then Paul was informed that Ananias was the high priest, And Paul responds, I was not aware, brethren, that he was high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. You see, respect for God entails respect for God-constituted authority. And that brings us to consider fourthly and finally in our Sunday school hour this morning, what is Jesus saying to us then as we come back to our touchstone text in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35? What is Jesus saying to us when he says, love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Would we be sons of the Most High? Disciples of Jesus? What is Jesus telling us? He is telling us that in union with him, the Son of God Most High, we are privileged and placed in positions of rule in the government of God, in the kingdom of God. What is the nature of this rule? How are we to exercise? What are we authorized to do? Verse 27. I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. That's what you're authorized to do. That's what you're authorized to do, to administer the gracious rule of God among men, to administer gospel grace in loving your enemies, doing good, blessing, praying, giving, being merciful, withholding condemnation in order to extend pardon. We have that authority to administer this rule, the rule of our reigning Lord and King, because we now live in a day of salvation. We are authorized to uphold the worship of this God. We are enabled to bear witness by our lives and our lips to all who he is as the Christ. He is the one who has fulfilled all prophecy in his suffering and his resurrection. And we are authorized in his name to go to all of the nations and to proclaim to all men everywhere, your sins can be forgiven in the courtroom of God. There's no other institution among men who's been given the authority to take that message to the world. No political party. No human monarchy, no military junta. There's no other institution authorized as sons of the Most High to declare with truth and authority the gospel of salvation. We are those who have been given the privilege of administering the rule of God among men. And it is a rule of grace. It is a rule of mercy. Because today is the day of salvation. I say, you are all sons of the Most High. You disciples in union with Christ Jesus. Do you know someone who is walking in darkness? Someone without understanding? You are authorized as sons of the Most High to reach into that person's life and to shine the light of gospel love upon them by your good works and by your words of prayer and blessing and gospel truth. Do you know someone who was unjustly abused by derelict authority? Well, you have authority. You have authority of the King to seek their rescue, to meet their needs, to help them in their weakness. Do you know someone whose conscience has them pinned to the ground under the weight of their guilt and their sense of condemnation? Well, you have authority to pray for them, to pray with them, and to take them by the hand and lead them to your Heavenly Father, and to show them Jesus, this gracious Son of the Most High, this one who has come to be Lord and Savior of sinners, to explain to them how God in Christ reconciles sinners to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, but imputing their sin to Christ and imputing Christ's righteousness to them. To tell them on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating through you, urging them, be reconciled. Come into peace with the God of heaven and earth. And you are authorized as sons of the Most High to adjudicate and judge and administer the rule of your gracious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What an undeserved privilege we've been given. What a noble responsibility. What a glorious prospect. Your reward will be great. Let's follow the Son of God Most High, and let's learn to be who we are in Christ. You shall be sons of God Most High. Amen. Let's pray. Father, what can we say but thank you? Thank you for embracing us in mercy. Thank you for being kind to us in our ingratitude. Thank you for making us alive in Jesus Christ. And now, in union with Christ, we pray that we would be endowed with the Spirit of Christ, that we might bear the name of Christ with honor, that we might be who Christ has made us to be, even sons of the Most High. And that by our lives and by our witness, through our worship and service to you, the true and living God, we might faithfully discharge our responsibility to administer your rule, your gospel love and grace to others in our lives, doing so with the privilege that is ours in Christ, and for the praise that we would give now and eternally to Christ, as we pray in his name. Amen.